Thank you, Lord.
It's so wonderful to be able to stir ourselves up this morning in a way of remembrance. Yes. It gets us excited.
Yes.
And joy filled.
We're looking into, we're talking about and sharing about our thoughts and our imaginations. Mm-hmm. And that when we sing, when I think about the Lord. And, you know, that's so important for us to do and remember all through the day, all through the week.
Thank you, Jesus.
When we think about the Lord, what He has already done for us, right?
Yes, yes.
And the Bible talks about, first of all in Isaiah, but it's brought over to, by Paul in the New Testament in the book of Corinthians, where he talks about, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him.
Amen.
And we love Him today, don't
we?
Yes. We love Him. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
But now in the New Testament, actually, Paul goes on to say there in Corinthians, he says that we've received these things of the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God and by God, right?
That's right.
So glory to God, that's shouting ground.
Yep.
I said, that's shouting ground. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well,
yes.
We're so glad with you're with us once again today. Know that we're praying for you. Thank you just for praying for us and standing with us. And we appreciate that so much. And know that you're always in our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Know that we're praying for you all through the week and as the Holy Ghost leads. You know, one thing that we can do is always know that God is on our side, right? And thank God for the Bible and what it says there in the book of Psalms. That many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Well,
out of them all. Out of them all. Thank you, Lord.
So
no matter what crisis, no matter what problem we face in life, I like the what Paul said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 when he talked about, he said that we don't look at the things which are seen, but the things that are unseen. The things that are unseen are the things that we know as part of the household of faith that God has already brought a remedy for, a solution to, and we can take hold of that by the spirit of faith and appropriate His promises and know that He's working.
Amen.
He's working. We don't look at the things that are seen.
That's right.
So many Christians look at things that are seen. They just, they gauge and they govern their life. We were sharing a little bit about this last night, but they're governed by the spirit of fear. Now, sometime you might look this up, do a search, you know, DuckDuckGo or whatever you use, and look up phobias, and look at all the different phobias. I mean, there's new ones all the time that are cropping up because people got new fears. And a phobia is your fear of this, fear of flying, fear of riding in a bus, fear of walking down the street. I mean, some of the things, and I one day or a while back, I remember looking at these, and I just thought, man, to go through life afraid of the future that the Lord's already purchased for us, the future that's so bright for all of us. It's bright for all of us, every single one, no matter what you're going through right now, no matter how big the test may seem. And again, I'm reminded of this scripture there in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's look at this real quick. But notice this. Let this be so real to us all once again today, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And notice what it says here in verse 13. Well, let's back up. To verse 11 to catch more of the fullness of this, because we learn through the examples of those that are our predecessors in the Old Testament. And the Bible explicitly says that here, but it says there in verse 11, it says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Well, when we think we're standing strong without the Lord's help, without the Lord's ingenuity, without the Lord's ability at whatever point of need we are, then we're in a position of, at the very least, pride. And that's not a good place to be in. So, but we don't think we stand without His help. We got to take heed lest we fall. Now get this, verse 13, it says, there hath no temptation. Think about those words. No temptation taken you but such as is common to man.
Mm-hmm.
So, look what it goes on to say. But God is faithful. Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad he's faithful?
Yes, thank you.
But God is faithful. Let's say that together. God is faithful.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Who will not suffer you. And the word suffer simply means to permit. It's an old English word, but it's still used today by many different ones. Mm-hmm. He will not suffer you or permit you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also, praise God, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And the word bear there simply means that you're able to be sustained without sinking.
Amen.
Sustained without sinking. That's a good thing if you're on a boat,
isn't
it?
Like a life jacket.
Glory to God. To be sustained without sinking. And that's such good news for all of us as believers as we're walking this journey of faith in these last days.
Mm-hmm.
Because here we got fear on this side, fear on that side, fear everywhere. And we know God has not given us the spirit of fear. And
that's
again,
right.
Back to something I said a moment ago. So many people govern their life trying to move away from confronting fear as it stands in the way between them and God's blessings.
Mm-hmm.
So many times people are motivated by that spirit, fear. They do things, and it's all as a result of a reflex reaction to what fear is being fed into their life.
Or they don't do things at all.
Yeah.
And keeps fear, them from doing certain
and fear
things.
Stymies.
Yeah.
I mean, what if God tells any of you to do something, and now we're talking about it doesn't go contrary to his word, start a business, buy something, do something, and it takes a step of faith. Everything takes a step of faith.
Yes.
It takes a step of faith. But it's there that we what? We please God, because it's without faith that it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must what?
Believe that he is.
And then number two, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yes.
So people try to make decisions out of their head, not out of their heart, not out of the leading of the Holy Ghost. And they do things as that reflex, as that reaction to something that's trying to confront their life. And then pretty soon they try to navigate around everything that would try to confront them with something other than what God told them belongs to them. And that those promises that are all yea and amen to the glory of God,
yes.
they look for a rock to hide under, you know, figuratively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't ever fulfill what God wants them to do.
Yes.
Because again, as one man said years ago, I heard him say this, fear looks, but faith leaps.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can all look at our own lives and see what's governing what we do.
Mm-hmm.
What governs our obedience to God. And obedience to God is walking by faith. Obedience to God is doing his word. What is obedience? It's if you're willing and obedient, the Bible tells mm-hmm. us you're going to eat the good of the land. That's not just in good times. That's in trying times. That's when we see all
that's
the things
right.
around in the world that try to inhibit us from doing things. Again, fear looks. It's stymied.
Mm-hmm.
But faith leaps. In other words, when you find out what the will of God is, what his word says, you act on it. You stay faithful with that.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happens? You're going to see the blessings of God.
That's right.
You're mm-hmm. going to have to watch out when you step out of your front door because you're going to trip over the package. Praise
yeah,
God.
Yeah, not because of fear, but because of the packages of faith.
Yeah, you're going to trip over it.
And obviously, I sense that this is for someone this morning, but we can all receive from this. Amen. We can, because you think about God's love. God's love makes it where you can love someone when they're not lovable.
Yes.
You can love people in the world when they're not lovable.
Mm-hmm.
We don't love the things of the world, but we love the people that are in the world. And just like Jesus had compassion, when he had compassion, that's when he healed the sick. So when we have compassion upon those that are lost or deceived or pushing all these agendas of wokeism, of separation from God, you love the people, but you hate the sin. Pushing for, you know, this transgenderism, all this confusion. God's not confused. But man tries to create the confusion. But thank God he's not the author of confusion. But I'm just reminded here as you're talking, honey, about 1 John chapter 4. And where it talks about that, if we look at, I'm just going to skim over these verses, but starting with verse 7, that, you know, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. It's kind of working there a little bit in reverse, and knoweth God. People that don't know God have a hard time loving. Have you noticed that? Because God's love is unconditional. God sees truth. He sees through things. And mm-hmm. his love enables us to do the same. He that loveth not God knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world. Why did he send his Son? Because he loved the world, right? John 3:16. And then it goes on, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be that propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then it goes on. And then it goes on to say in verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and that he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Right? His Spirit lives in us, the Holy Ghost, and love. Okay, we love one another. God dwelleth in us. And then, I'm sorry, I've missed a very important scripture there. Verse 12. Let's back up. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Now, catch this. Remember this. And his love is perfected in us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? His love is perfected in us. So then if you go down to verse 18, talking about fear, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. You have perfect love. I have perfect love. Why? It's God-given. Perfect mm-hmm. love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Have you noticed that? People say they're paralyzed with fear. They freeze. Why? First of all, fear torments and it paralyzes.
Mm-hmm.
But he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We let his love be perfected in us. Therefore, perfect love casteth out all fear. Right? We love him because he first loved us. So love plays an important role here in casting out fear.
Yeah.
And his love is perfected in us. And he gave us his love in the first place.
And how do you love people? How do you love others? You love them in the midst of their imperfections, right?
Right.
And so the imperfections that we all have, right?
Yes.
Idiosyncrasies,
thank you, Lord.
Whatever imperfection that may try to beset us, we can see past that for the God that's in people, talking about our brothers especially, right? So when we love one another, and that's how, by the oil of the Holy Spirit, working in and through us, we can love people, we can forgive people,
yes.
and we can not allow what the devil's trying to do. We see this in the world so much now about the divisiveness about things. I mean, on every level of
yes.
things. And what is it based on? More oftentimes than not, you come to find out that it's based on lies. It's
yes.
based on deception.
Yeah.
Right?
Even
our own government lying to
yeah.
us and telling us things. It's like, believe the opposite of what they say, and you're going to be believing the truth. For real. And so that's why you got to be careful about feeding too much on, and I was sharing some of this last night at the service, that you feed, whatever you feed on is going to eventually become a part of you and consume you.
Right.
Okay? So it's good to be aware of what's going on, aware of our surroundings, but don't let that consume you in the wrong way.
Yes.
Don't
amen.
Let that overtake you, because what it'll do is it'll affect your family life.
Mm-hmm.
It'll affect your marriage. It'll affect you and your children, your grandchildren. It'll affect you with the way you see coworkers. It'll affect you in every different strata. Every different level. So guard your heart.
That's right.
Guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of
yes.
life.
And one other thing I wanted to add about that is the devil's trying to work in relationships too. Family, friends, coworkers, neighbors. He's trying to stir up strife. And you know, there's, and the strife is like the manifest presence of the devil, and in strife is fear, and he tries to bring condemnation, and we can't receive that from him. We don't receive anything that the devil tries to give us or tries to present to us or tries to work up. That's why when we stir ourselves up in the Holy Ghost, we stir ourselves up in love and way of remembrance of what the Lord does. And we say, devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You're not going to work through this person. You're not going to work in this situation. You're certainly not going to, you know, try to push my buttons, right? But we say, Father God, I thank you. I love you. I love these people. I forgive them. I release forgiveness. Lord, I ask you to help me. Father God, help me to see them through your eyes only. And it says there, going on in verse 1 John chapter 5, it goes on to say what love does. Besides perfect love casting out all fear, it says in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments, right? When things are right this way, things are right this way. They should be. When the vertical relationship is right, the horizontal relationships all add up, line up. Because we love God. We want to see through God's eyes people. Mm-hmm. And love them like God loves them. And you let the love of God flow. Mm-hmm. And therefore, nothing. Remember it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What's the greatest thing out of, people think it's faith. No, it's love. Charity.
Yeah, love in action.
Love in action. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That means he doesn't ask us to do anything that is too hard, too difficult, or impossible.
Yes.
For whatever's born of God, and this is what love transfers over to, and this is key. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And you think, that's what love does? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Overcoming power, love, and our faith. And it says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
So we see this. We've been talking about having victory through Christ Jesus, right? Having success in this life. And then that's what love carries over, is our faith, the overcoming power that God has given us, the victory through Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. all stemming out of love.
Yes.
So nothing can touch us when love is in action.
Yeah, and it's that's why, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, through love to serve one another there in the book of Galatians. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Notice this here in chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. He's mm-hmm. writing to the church of Thessalonica. He's writing to believers.
Yes.
He's writing to those who are born again,
yep.
which would be inclusive of us today, because these were written to us as New Testament believers, the part
yes.
of the canon of the Bible, the canon of the New Testament. So let's read on here. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. And the word meet there doesn't mean like a steak. It means as is proper. All right? We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is proper,
mm-hmm.
because your faith groweth how?
Exceedingly.
And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth.
Amen.
Where you find abounding charity. Now, this he's talking here to the church family. He's talking to the believers, obviously, that congregate or connect with one another. And don't we all know? It goes back to something you said, honey, about a minute ago, about how that the devil's always trying to work division with people. Mm-hmm. He's always trying to work, and I call them wedge workers. Mm-hmm. You got wedge workers.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you've got somebody you work with, a coworker, a neighbor, God forbid, a family member. But, you know, somebody also known as a pot stirrer, somebody who's always trying to keep that something going, something alive. Be careful about that. It doesn't mean you can't recognize it, pray about it, deal with it, but be careful and guard your heart about that, because there's always, it's easy to see dirt. It's easy to see problems. It's easy to see all of us. Look at me. I'm flawed. Okay? But God, on our best day, we're all together flesh, the Bible says.
Yes, we are.
On our best day. Thank God we've been born again. We're redeemed. Amen? But we got to see people through the eyes of love. Mm-hmm. We got to see people because our faith will never be productive. Our faith will never be strong. And this is what he's pointing out here to the church at Thessalonica. He said, your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth.
Aboundeth.
Now, what do we know about this? We know that where division works, and you brought this up a moment ago about in James 5, that where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. I think that was the scripture you brought up.
Well, yeah.
But that's the manifest presence of the devil.
Yes.
So prosperity is hindered in our life when there's strife going on.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make decisions out of strife. We're going to make decisions out of selfishness. We're going to make things that are not coming from the wellspring of eternal life, from who God is.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is love.
That's right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So with all you're doing, do your best. And the Bible tells us in another place in Hebrews to be at peace or to live peaceable or try to be at peace with the people that are around you. Now, sometimes people make that virtually impossible. We all know that. But the thing is in love and preferring your brother or your sister over yourself, and you see things through the eyes of faith. I mean, when I see me, okay, nobody knows me better than me other than God, right?
Right.
Nobody other knows you better than you other than God. Not even your spouse,
mm-hmm.
right? Because
mm-hmm.
they can't get into the inner chambers of your thought process and your imagination.
That's right.
Amen. But God knows all of our thoughts.
Yes, he
does. He knows. In other words, there was a great blessing there in Malachi where he took notice of those who thought upon his name. So God knows that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to us believing things and believing the right things and letting things go, things that try to harass us, it's important if we're going to be strong in faith, and we need to be strong in faith in these last days
mm-hmm.
to see the blessings of God, the provision of God, the prosperity of God on our life, the healing flowing.
Yes, yes.
Let things go.
Yes.
I mean, there's going to be people that do you wrong, but especially when he's talking about brethren and sisters together, he's talking about those that are closest to you. Now, we know individually in our own natural families, you may have some people that are characters in your family. They're irritants, right? It's kind of like the thorn in your side. But thank God for the grace of God. Thank God that the Lord will help us to be able to forgive people that seem unforgivable.
Yes.
Because this all goes down to, as he says there, your faith groweth exceedingly, the charity of every one of you all toward each other, what? Abounds. It abounds. It abounds.
Yes.
Yeah, and you can't be strong in faith and believe God to move big mountains if you're not walking in love.
Yes.
And work
and
right.
If some of these situations are persistent because you have family, or not just family, but you have friends or neighbors in your life that, you know, it's kind of like from the movie Elf, if anybody ever saw the movie. It's cute, but it's, you know, anyway. But there was times where he went in there and he pushed all the buttons in the elevator. He's like, oh, a Christmas tree. And I feel like sometimes that's what the devil tries to do with us. He tries to push all of our buttons. We get up, you know, everything's great. We're in joy. We're in love. We're in forgiveness. But our feet haven't touched the floor yet. We haven't gotten out of bed yet. And as soon as we get out of bed, the devil's trying to not only vie for your time, but for your love walk. Because everything flows out of love, right? Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. In mm-hmm. other words, out of it flow the issues of life. And so if we can get us distracted and get our mind and our attention onto ourselves, and again, we're talking about this. I know this is not really the direction that we were planning on going, but this is for someone, if not for all of us today.
Yeah, we can all take it.
Because the devil is trying to flow through strife. Bring division in this land, this country, and then with our churches and with division in our families mm-hmm. and our communities. He's always trying. But you know what? There's proper boundaries that we can set up in our life. What do boundaries do? What do fences do? Fences are not just to keep everybody out. It's to keep what you have in your life and your yard protected in, right? We've been putting up some fences around some of my perennials and putting them in fencing. I want them, but I'm having things come up from underneath the ground. For some reason, they're on our property. We're trying to get rid of them, right?
Yes,
get rid
amen.
Of these pests, and we will in Jesus' name.
And believe me, don't talk to her about her plants and the roots getting eaten up and say it's no big deal. It's a big deal. Now, some of you might have heard this.
The rage of God.
No.
It's towards
a better
people,
one.
It's towards these pests.
Hell knows no fury like that of a woman. Right?
Don't tangle
with me. And all the
me.
Men said amen.
Well, when you have this situation.
True.
So, yeah, I'm pulling up my plants, sticking them in chicken fencing, sticking them back in the ground, the things underneath and above the ground.
No, those things are...
I just don't want to waste any more money.
It's torture for a woman who's got flowers that is their little baby.
They were once
and then
there,
they
and then
see
gone.
These things, and then you walk away from it and come back 10 minutes later, and the thing has been there. Since you were there 10 minutes ago.
It's a pawn of the devil.
Oh, yeah. It's like a nemesis. But see, that's what strife and offense and
guess what I've had to do? He'll tell me, let it go. We're going to do something about it, but just let it go. Because again, what does it do? It steals your joy. It steals your attention. It steals your love. And then you're raging. But this can happen with relationships too. Why that person do that to me?
It's
they
an
just
offshoot.
Stabbed me in the, they just stabbed me in the back. You know what? We have to stop and say, wait a second. And I mean, there's times I've literally had to say it. Yeah, it's a distraction. But it tries to get your gut.
Yes.
Tries to wedge it in a fence and steal your joy and steal your love. And you're like, wait a second. I make a decision. I don't know what spirit they're operating in, but I'm not going to partake of that.
And I bind it.
And I bind it. And I set a boundary. And I protect my heart. I protect my faith. I protect my love walk. And there's boundaries. There's safe boundaries that we have to keep. Sometimes you have to stay away from certain people. Because mm-hmm. they are pushing your buttons, and somebody else might be able to handle it. Maybe you can't. You're working on improving in that area. But if it's a sore spot, there's nothing wrong with saying, I just have to set up, maybe not interact with them as much, and walk in love, and just you know, it's kind of like if you have a place in your garden that has gotten eaten up, or it's a weak place, or it's a young place. The plants are just starting out. You have to protect it. From elements. It doesn't have a strong root system yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with us having that and being able to just recognize that and say, you know, Lord, I'm working on this. I ask you for your help. And then we love people. We love things from a distance, you know, until we're really strong, or maybe that's the way things have to continue.
Because mm-hmm.
God wants us to, you know, we're not a carpet to be walked on, but we want to walk in love.
Right,
and we have to know
the balance.
There's a balance in that, and so we don't have to just keep letting our heart out there to, you know, let it continually be stabbed. But we want to protect that,
yeah,
and protect what God's given us, so that we can again keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. That means out of it flow from the abundance our mouth speaks, from the abundance of our heart. We locate where we're at, and so we want to protect our faith and our love walk mm-hmm. as a result.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you, Lord. And with His help, we do.
Yes,
with His help, we do.
Amos 3:3 says, "How can two walk together unless they be agreed? How can two walk together unless they be agreed?" Now think about that in relationships with people, particularly like in marriage. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Why? Because there is a biblical, spiritual law that is tapped into when people get into agreement. Okay? That's why the devil hates us imagining the right things, being in agreement with God, right? For example, we've been sharing the scripture. Shared again last night a little bit and had some fun with it. Deuteronomy 28:13. And it says there, "And the Lord shall make you the head." And the Lord shall make you the head. Who's going to make you the head? And the Lord's going to do it. Why? Because now if you look at the whole context of everything, he starts off at verse 1 talking about all the blessings for about the first 13 verses. Then he talks about the curses. But he ends up there talking about the blessings. Mm-hmm. By following his commandments, by doing it his way, which is doing it his way is forgiving. Doing it his way is walking in love.
Yes.
That's putting on the new man. Paul talked about that in Ephesians chapter 4. But
thank you, Lord.
But how can two walk together unless they be agreed?
Mm-hmm.
So when we get into agreement, we tap into that fourth dimension of the spirit world. We live in the three-dimensional world. But there's a world all around every single one of us every day that's an invisible realm, but a very real realm.
Mm-hmm.
And that realm is tapped into by the spirit of faith. It's tapped into by the spiritual laws that God already set into place. Just like there's natural laws, mm-hmm. like the law of gravity, right?
Right.
And there's certain laws that, for example, Sir Isaac Newton discovered, right? And then there's certain laws that Einstein, right?
Mm-hmm.
About time and space. That you add into that, and so we have this dimension of life to tap into. We can't see all the opposing forces around us. We feel them every day. That's why the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. If we look at really where the source of our opposition is coming, that it's not, you know, more oftentimes it's not just our spouse, it's maybe their, you know, dealing with something, the devil's trying to oppress them. Maybe the devil's trying to
work
hurt
the
them. So we need to be sensitive to that.
Yes.
And know that, hey, in the name of Jesus, devil, I kick you out of my house.
That's right. I see how you're trying to operate.
I bind you from hindering my spouse. I command
yes.
you to take your hands off my
yeah.
wife.
Yeah.
I command you to take your hands off my husband. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. In
That's
Jesus'
right.
name.
That's right.
Because why? We wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's behind the invisible dimensional realm that's all around us every day. And so when God says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Well, first, agreement. We need to be in agreement with God,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But secondarily, when we're talking about walking in this world, then we need to be in agreement with our spouse.
Yes.
We need to be in agreement with that other person, maybe
yes.
their prayer partner who's standing with us.
Yes.
And it will permit us to tap into the force of faith.
Yes, amen.
Because faith works by love.
Yes.
And that love is going to be seen in agreement. And if you're not in, if you don't love someone, you definitely wouldn't be around that person.
That's right.
Right? Not very much. Or at least you'd try to avoid them.
Right. Well, one of the characters of love is self-control. And exercising that self-control, as you were saying, you know, being aware, are they in pain? Are they in discomfort? Are they tired? Are they already visibly upset about something? And so we have to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost to not egg something on, to not put fuel on the fire. It takes a strong man or woman to be able to walk away and just say, this is not the time to talk about this right now. If you mm-hmm. notice that somebody's going through something. But it's also important, if it's a spouse situation, to communicate to your loved one, hey, I'm going through something, can you stand with me? Or I don't want to talk about that right now, or I'm not feeling very good, I'm standing against symptoms in my body, rather than just leave your spouse up to guess in it, even if you've been married for a while, because it's important that we communicate effectually,
yeah.
not only our
it's
faith,
ongoing.
But yeah, what's going on in our bodies. And that way, it's not a sign of weakness. It's just a sign of, hey, you can stand with me because I'm just not, this is not the, you know, I don't want to discuss this right now. Well, let's talk about this later. I want to hear what you have to say. But also too, you know, it's experiencing that self-control because yes, we want to be in agreement in our household. We want to have that. And when it's people outside your family and it's people maybe you don't know and you're wondering, why are they doing this to me? Or what's going on? What's happening here? You know, the Bible does say, apart from the family, right? And sometimes it can be family. Those that live godly will suffer persecution.
Yeah.
So we have to also recognize when it's something that's uncalled for, why are they treating me this way? This is so weird. Why are they ignoring me or they're mean towards me? Well, guess what? Sometimes when, you know, when you're living godly, sometimes that can reap some persecution. And you have to recognize it. Well, a lot of times. And you just need to recognize it for what it is. Take authority over it. Again, determined to walk in love, walk in forgiveness, and say, Lord, that's not my problem. They're your problem. Yeah. I'm going to do what I can, or, you know, or be led by the Lord. But when it's uncalled for, we have to learn to recognize things quickly, spiritually. Not to get in the realm of reason, like, what did I do? And bring condemnation and make you feel bad and make you afraid, as we started out saying, you know, there's no fear in God. There's no fear in perfect love. Perfect love casts off. And so when you see it God's way, what's going on here, you take authority over it. You remember, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. God's given us, through Jesus, the keys to the kingdom. The keys to our authority, the keys to be able to unlock things. So we take our place in that.
Yep.
And then we say, I determined to walk in love and walk in forgiveness. And I release love. I pray for them. And Father God, open up the eyes of their understanding and mine further, but theirs too, so they can see what they need to see and do what they need to do. And I claim their salvation if they don't know the Lord.
Yeah. And Paul there in 2 Thessalonians 1 back there, here, you look further here as we read on. He talks about their faith growing exceedingly, the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we, verse 4, ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Now notice he said there that the word all is in there. All your persecutions.
Yeah.
Why does persecution arise? Well, first and foremostly, as the Lord Jesus himself said in the parable of the sower, persecution arises for the word's sake.
For the word's sake.
It doesn't come for our sake, per se. What the devil's trying to do is get the word out of our life.
Yes.
He's trying to get us in a compromised position so that the word of God is no longer in our heart and in our mouth. Because when it's in our heart and in our mouth, we can stand against the temptations, stand against the forces of darkness, stand against the wiles of the devil. Because why? Because we use the mighty name of Jesus,
we answer it with the word.
What the Lord did himself.
Yes.
When he encountered the temptations of Satan out in the wilderness.
That's right.
Right? And the devil left him for an opportune time. So it's imperative that we
respond
the right way. That we don't start blaming God, start, you know, getting in the down in the mouth, and then, you know, we go from taking it out on the Lord and blaming him to blaming other people. And we look at things the right way and keep the right perspective, because a lot of times people lose perspective. They lose that focus, that vision, that excitement about, okay, trials, tribulations, issues, persecutions, all these things, the devil is trying his best to get the word out of me.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. So guess what? If I don't have any word in me, then I'm really not a threat to the devil and the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah. So we got to get the word of God into
us. So we got to stay saturated in the word of God.
Yes.
We were sharing on here last week about getting saturated.
Yes.
And then staying full, overflowing.
That's where the power of the renewed mind comes in. Because then we respond the way God responds. I mean, if anybody was to ask me, or the Lord was to say, what would you want? Not only wisdom like Solomon wanted. I want to respond the way you respond, Lord. I want to think like you think. I want to do like you do. And the Bible says that's all accessible and that's all obtainable for the believer. That's part of the renewing of the mind, right? To think like God thinks. Towards every situation, towards every person. And then you say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means that you're answering it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
We're not missing God by doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the power it stems from.
Yeah.
And then that protects our heart, it protects our faith walk, and we stay in love, we stay in forgiveness. And where does all that come? You know, what results from that? Joy. faith, love. The devil didn't give it to us in the first place, but that's, it keeps everything protected in its rightful place. And that's what's so exciting. It's not just an, you know, oh, when we get to glory land, all these things can happen. No, we can have heaven on earth. We can have days of heaven on earth. We can have a slice of heaven on earth in the midst of the chaos, destruction, calamity, because we have, what do fences do? Fences keep in the right things and keep out the wrong things.
Right.
Right? That's why we have borders. We have boundaries. Keeping the right things, keep out the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important that we have boundaries in our life that
that's
do
exactly
those things.
Right.
Spiritual boundaries I'm talking about, too.
So when he says here, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith, in all your patience and faith. That sounds a lot like Hebrews chapter 6, doesn't it? Where it talks about the Lord's promise. Paul's talking about there by the Spirit of God, where he said, surely blessing, I'm going to bless you, and multiplying you, I'm going to multiply you, right?
Right.
So shall thy seed be. And the Bible says, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise, talking about Abraham. Well, we're the seed of Abraham.
Yes.
We're the seed of Abraham. You're the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
That's shouting ground.
That's right.
You're the seed. I'm of the seed of Abraham.
Yes.
Right?
Thank you, Lord.
Abraham's blessings are ours.
Yeah.
We're not blessed. Just in the tough times or the good times, but in the in between and every other
blessed
time.
Blessed going in, blessed going out.
That's why really
coming and going.
Meditate there on those first verses about the power that's in the blessing of the Lord there in Deuteronomy 28. The first 13 verses or so, he ends up there.
Yeah.
And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, above only. Above only. Meditate on
you
that.
You say above only. You go around the house, above only. The devil's trying to say, what about this? What about that? You say, no, above only. I'm above only, devil.
Yes, and you got to get it in your heart. It's not just mouth and words. But you have to meditate on that. And see it for yourself.
Yes, get excited.
Meditate
about it. Yes.
And get that in your heart.
Yes.
And say it because you believe it, because it's become a rhema word to you.
Yep.
It's not just something you read. You're not just mouthing words. You're saying it because you got conviction behind it.
And when the devil's saying, what about this? What about your future? Yep. What about your job? I'm above only.
That's right.
Seriously, you answered the devil
with
the word.
It's all perspective.
It is.
Praise brings perspective.
Yeah.
The right perspective. You start praising God, worshiping God.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. You're working in my situation. Thank you, Lord. That prayer's being answered. Lord, I thank you that I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe.
Yes. What about the hours at work? What about your pay raise? I'm above only. Hallelujah. The Lord's working it out. See, there's times that we just have to put it in the Lord's hands, but we answer the devil. You have to answer the devil with the word of God.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, devil, but guess what? The Lord's working. I put it in the Lord's hands. It's not in your hands. It's in the Lord's hands. Do they recognize your efforts? You know what? Through faith they do. I believe the Lord. I believe the goodness of the Lord is at work. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Not just here and there. Not just once a month. All the days. Every single day of my life, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
I shall not want.
Now, all your needs are met, right? Already? That's what the Bible says. We don't have to pray about our needs. We thank the Lord that our needs are met. But what about your wants and your desires?
Yep.
Thank you, Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
But you notice it's through patience.
And faith.
And faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. How do you endure? You endure hardness, as Paul told Timothy, as a good soldier. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You endure hardness.
Yes.
What does that mean? There's some tenacity. You've got a root system in the truth of God and you're not going to let go about it.
That's right. And through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God.
That's Hebrews 6, goes on and
says
that.
Through faith and patience, you can say, I'm inheriting the promises of God.
You just stay
faithful. Every day.
Just stay. If I can just put anything in anybody at any time, I think the most valuable thing that a person can acquire walking with God is a great understanding about the role of patience and it being mixed with faith.
Yes.
Because patience keeps us on the course, the right course in faith,
yes,
in our faith
thank
life,
you, Lord.
In trusting God and believing God to see us fully vindicated in a situation or fully with every need met.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this here, and Paul here, and you can go so many different ways here with what he's saying in 2 Thessalonians 1. It says there, which is a manifest token, verse 5, of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. So they were being persecuted, the church. They circled the wagons. He was telling them, keep the wagons circled. In other words, don't let division in. Walk in love towards people that are imperfect. We're all imperfect.
Yep.
Let things go and such. And here he says here, it's a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God that you be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer.
Yes.
What do? We're suffering persecution because of the word. For righteousness' sake.
For the word's sake, yeah.
Right? Not because we're in pride. We know we're nothing without him.
Right.
But then look what it goes on. Seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now that day is coming. That day is coming.
Right.
The world laughs at Christianity. They don't know better.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know Jesus.
Right.
He's a real man.
Mm-hmm.
But they laugh at Christianity so many times and because they don't know him. But here, I love this verse. It's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And who's going to do the retribution? Who's going to do the recompensing?
It's the Lord.
Remember what it says there in Hebrews 11, mm-hmm. 6? It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who that diligently seek
him. After him. Yep.
A rewarder. How is that? It's by believe in him, by trusting him.
Yes.
Read on here. It says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When what? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed
from heaven
with his mighty angels. So you got mighty angels working in the realm of the spirit,
mm-hmm.
trying to set up divine opportunities.
Yes.
For you to walk through
to
doors.
To go before us. Yes. To minister unto us too.
To minister for us. Right?
Yes.
Hebrews 1:14. And it says
Amen.
There, and to you are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he, talking about the Lord Jesus, shall become to be glorified in his saints. That's you and me.
Yes.
That's believers all
Amen.
Around the world.
Thank
so
you,
So Jesus
Lord.
Is coming soon.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
And you know what? Vengeance is the Lord's.
Yes.
He will repay.
He's the one that repays.
You may say, you look at the world and you look at situations and you just get, again, you got to be so careful because you just get fiery, mad about it, right?
Right.
But it's righteous indignation. Amen?
Yes, amen.
but you see atrocities happen in the world. You see things that are just absolutely wrong. And you got to keep in the back of your heart all the time, payday's coming. Payday's coming.
Yes.
And when we do what we're supposed to do, and this goes back around in full circle, to walking in love towards one another and pray for people that despitefully use you and persecute you, let things go. Don't harbor unforgiveness. Don't let a root of bitterness get inside of you. And watch how faith will work and that fresh excitement will come back into you and your spiritual life be revitalized because God's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Yes, thank
and,
you, Lord.
And know that God is able to redeem things. We've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. But thank God we get them under the blood.
Yes.
Don't beat yourself up over it. Let the Lord get the glory out of restoring far greater. Let the Lord get the glory out of trusting Him through faith and patience, seeing the promises of God. People laugh at you and try to make fun of you. Yeah, you're just a weak person because the gospel's... No, the gospel's not for the weak. We're all weak. The gospel is because we've been sinners and we need the grace of God bestowed upon our life through His precious blood. Amen.
Yes, amen.
We can do that. Amen.
Well, I'm going to read that because I was looking for that when you quoted it. Matthew 5, verse 43, it says, "Ye have heard," Jesus is talking here, "ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." That's what the world says, right? "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Enemies of what? Your faith, mm-hmm. right? This is what Jesus is saying to respond. And I always top it off, you know, the cherry on the top is saying, be led by the Holy Ghost. Because every situation can be different. But this is the main thought. "That ye may be the children of your Father, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." Okay? And then he goes on to say, "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" We only love people that love us? Well, no. The Bible says that Jesus even said, you know, when you're a part of me, the world will hate you. Be mm-hmm. careful if the world loves you. That's what Jesus was saying. And then it goes on to say in verse 47, "And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" So we don't act like the world acts. But verse 48 says, "But be ye therefore perfect." We're talking about that again, right? "Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So that means we need to be mature in how we respond to situations and when people try to trouble us or persecute us. And remember, there's a law of sowing and reaping here. Nobody gets away with anything.
Yep.
And that's why we want to pray for people to be corrected, you know, on earth before they pass on.
Yeah.
Because this is the time to bring correction. This is the time when people can change their fate based on what they do. And we see this with the spiritual eyes, right? And so we want to make sure that we're doing our part to pray for those that are despitefully using us or hurting us or persecuting us, because their end is not going to be good if they continue on that path.
And we know what the future is of the unsaved, which we all know from what the Bible tells us. It helps us to really keep our heart tender towards praying for people who have despitefully used us or persecuted us.
Yes.
And wrongfully maligned us. Whatever it happens to everybody.
Yes.
But it's not what happens to us. What's important is how do we respond
and
how do we stand?
Yes.
How are we going to do it?
Thank you.
So let's thank the Lord right now.
Yes.
Let's thank
Him,
Father God, working in all these situations. And if you have to release people, do it, because you release yourself. When you release other people, you release yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Forgiveness towards
them. It's forgiveness I'm talking about. Because you can add, does that mean they're forgiven? Not on God's side, but what it means is we release ourselves so that we're not tripped up, so that we're not stymied in our walk with God and receiving from Him. Because faith works by love.
Yes.
Faith works by love.
Mm-hmm.
Faith works by love.
Yes.
Faith does not work where there is not love. What does love do? It casts out fear.
That's right.
Shuts the door on
fear. And if you're having issues with getting healing in your body, check your faith, check your love walk.
Mm-hmm.
Have you forgiven people that have done you wrong, you know, in the past week, months, years? Way back when, maybe they've gone on. Maybe they've passed on. Have we forgiven people that have done us wrong? It's really important that if we're not getting the victory with answers or with our faith or with even the realm of healing, unforgiveness can stymie that as well. Because that's the only place in the Bible that the Lord says He won't forgive us.
And that,
if we don't forgive. And so it's really important that we can make that decision. We don't do it based on feeling. But our feelings will line up. Mm-hmm. They will. because it's a decision we choose to make in faith by God's wisdom, doing it the Bible way. Say, mm-hmm. Lord, you know, I forgive that person. I forgive what they did. And Lord, I just thank you. You're working in my situation.
Amen. Let's pray.
Lord. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name
of Jesus
for Father helping us today to, as we've shared these precious scriptures that are truth, that Father, you'll help us to, Father God, put a fresh stirring inside of our heart and a fresh awareness of the importance of how perfect love casts out fear, and how that torment that tries to torment us is dealt with by your mighty power when we choose to walk in love and be perfected in love, be matured in our love walk. So help us, Father God, as we do what your word says, to be a doer of the word, to build our life on your word.
Yes.
Where Jesus, you said, he who hears my sayings and does them, I'm going to liken him or her to a wise man that built their house on the rock. And Lord, we need to make sure our house is built on the rock in these last days. In these uncertain times, we know the one thing is for sure, one thing is for certain, and that is the certainty of you, because you are faithful. So we cast our cares over on you about these things.
Yes, we do.
And we thank you, Lord, that retribution, recompense, vengeance comes from you. You ultimately repay. And Father, we can keep that into your hands. And Father, we can guard our heart, and the issues of life can continue to freely flow out of our being and affect our bodies, make them strong, make them more and more healthy. And Lord God, truly, your prosperity can be on our life, spirit, soul, body, materially. And Lord, we can have peace in our houses and live a life with the abundance of your peace.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We trust that blessed you today.